A Lockheed P-38 Lightning vanished over the Mediterranean on July 31, 1944, carrying Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, aviator, aristocrat, and author of what would become the most translated book after religious texts. More than 200 million copies sold in 270 languages. Celebrities from Orson Welles to Madonna cite it as life-changing. Schools worldwide teach it not as literature, but as essential wisdom. What makes a slim wartime fairy tale resonate across every culture and generation? The answer lies beneath its deceptively simple surface. The Little Prince is Saint-Exupéry's spiritual autobiography, a profound reconciliation with his lost childhood and absent father. Through a golden-haired boy from a distant star, this aviator author finally found what he'd been seeking across deserts, mountains, and oceans, himself. The story begins where transformation always does, with a crash landing, both literal and metaphorical, that shatters everything we thought we knew. A stranded aviator in the Sahara encounters a golden-haired boy at dawn who asks, "Please, draw me a sheep." This mirrors Saint-Exupéry's own desert crashes flying mail routes for Aéropostale across North Africa between 1926 and 1935. The opening marks a psychological breakthrough. At six, the aviator abandoned drawing after adults mistook his boa constrictor digesting an elephant for a hat. This childhood wound, being fundamentally misunderstood, created a lifelong division. The Little Prince's request shatters decades of resignation, commanding the aviator to reconnect with his creative, childlike self. The timing matters. Saint-Exupéry's father died when Antoine was nearly four. By six, he fully comprehended this loss, a wound shaping his entire life. The prohibition against drawing symbolizes the inability to express grief in a world of stoic adults. The desert's isolation forces this confrontation. Just as the plane must be rebuilt, so must the aviator's rigid adult perspective be dismantled to discover childhood's wisdom. The Little Prince's asteroid B612, hardly bigger than a house, mirrors Saint-Exupéry's childhood home, the Château of Saint-Maurice-de-Rémens. This ancestral estate, sold in 1932, remained his psychological Eden. Family photographs show young Antoine with thick, curly blonde hair forming a brilliant halo around his head. His sister Simone recalled, "We called him the Sun King." Saint-Exupéry's childhood unfolded in an almost exclusively feminine world. His father's early death left him surrounded by his protective mother Marie, his grandmother, his sisters, and his aunt. The only men were peripheral. Henri, the alcoholic coachman, an elderly Swiss gardener nicknamed Zizi the Toad, occasional visitors like the parish priest. Without paternal authority, he developed a casual relationship with rules. The Little Prince's barren asteroid, swept by drafts of wind, cold at night, with only simple flowers, baobab sprouts, and two volcanoes, seems an unlikely paradise. Yet it represents Saint-Exupéry's attempt to reconnect with his mysterious origins. The planet spinning in sidereal void and silence symbolizes the emptiness surrounding his beginnings, with underground life revealing itself only through volcanic fumes, perhaps representing fragments of knowledge overheard in a dark hallway from adults who didn't realize a child was listening. The central drama revolves around the prince's love for a vain, demanding rose and his concern that the sheep might eat her. The rose, beautiful but unbearable, is capricious, vain, lying, touchy, manipulative, and perpetually sickly. The Little Prince's relationship with her is deeply ambivalent. He feels obligated to care for her while recognizing her narcissistic manipulation. When he encounters 5,000 identical roses on Earth, he admits he would be obliged to pretend to care for her out of fear she would let herself die to humiliate me. This resembles an addiction pattern. The drinker drinks to forget he's ashamed of drinking, just as the little prince feels compelled to aid his flower to forget his guilt about this unhealthy dependence. Many readers identify the rose as Saint-Exupéry's wife, Consuelo, described by biographers as demanding and extravagant. But why bring a sheep to his tiny planet, knowing the risk? In Christianity, the sheep represents the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Perhaps both characters subconsciously wish the sheep would rid them of this demanding flower. The forgotten muzzle strap, the detail that torments the aviator years later, creates the story's tragic element. Did the sheep eat the flower or not? This unresolved anxiety reveals the incomplete nature of both the story and Saint-Exupéry's personal transformation. When the little prince reaches his lowest point, crying in the grass after discovering his rose isn't unique, the fox appears with the book's most famous wisdom. One can see well only with the heart. What is essential is invisible to the eye, and you become responsible forever for what you have tamed. That second line reveals the irreversible nature of genuine connection. The fox's taming ritual, sitting a little closer each day, represents the patient work of building connection, contrasting sharply with the rose's manipulative demands and the adult's absurd occupations. The fox reveals that responsibility transcends romance to encompass friendships, mentorships, parenthood, even our relationship with ourselves. Once we've truly connected with something or someone, we can never fully disconnect. We carry that responsibility and that gift forward. Between 1917 and 1927, Saint-Exupéry drifted through a decade of searching, failing Naval Academy exams, auditing fine arts, frequenting Parisian society, and entering military service where he taught aerodynamics while yearning to fly. Connections brought him to Leticor Aviation. In October 1926, he met operations manager Didier Dorat, a demanding World War I hero who insisted mail be delivered regardless of conditions. By spring 1927, at 27, Saint-Ex had found his calling, literature with his first published story, and aviation as an aeropostale pilot. Cape Juby's desolation transformed him. Stationed at this remote Atlantic Sahara outpost in 1927, he discovered meaning in stark landscapes and simple human connection. During a forced landing near Rio do Ouro, he found a black meteorite half buried in sand, a celestial visitor that would inspire the Little Prince's opening scene 14 years later. By 1928, he had unconsciously gathered the essential elements: vast desert, stars in clear night sky, a fennec fox with enormous ears, simple sheep, and threatening baobabs. Saint-Exupéry arrived in New York in December 1940, in crisis. Torn between love for France and rejection of both Vichy collaboration and de Gaulle's movement, his American exile left him feeling uprooted and purposeless. By 1942, despair consumed him. "I receive visitors as beau in the lobby of a train station," he lamented. His health deteriorated. "I'm 42 years old. My liver gives me trouble. My ear rings night and day." In this darkness, the little prince emerged, a transfiguration of the author himself. Saint-Ex shed his weighty adult form to become the ethereal child with golden hair that shone like the sun. The creation represented liberation. "I've always been 5 or 6 years old at heart." By creating a child who was both his own child and himself, he became a father while reconnecting with his childhood self. Shortly after completing the book in May 1943, Saint-Ex rejoined his reconnaissance group in North Africa. At 44, with a body bearing painful consequences of previous accidents, he was technically too old for combat aircraft, yet he secured permission to fly again. On July 31, 1944, he took off on his final flight. For 54 years, no one knew what happened until a fisherman recovered his identification bracelet in 1998. Like the little prince who arranged for the snake to bite him so he could return to his star, Saint-Exupéry may have chosen his moment of departure. The little prince is a prayer from a solitary child who couldn't grow up. The parable's meaning: become your child again, find your life's source, recreate yourself as your own origin. Then you'll see what's hidden and possess true understanding, the kind that comes from the heart. Through the little prince's journey, we remember that the essential is invisible to the eyes, that we are responsible for what we have tamed, and that somewhere inside each of us remains the child we once were, looking up at the stars with wonder rather than calculation.